for takeoff, runway 28 left, fly runway heading.
Welcome to another brand new episode of Living in Flight, your go-to podcast for everything in the world of aviation. Exclusive interview conversations with industry professionals and enthusiasts. Strap on your seatbelt.
Put on your headset.
And get ready for Living in Flight.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Living in Flight. Matt wasn't here to introduce our next guest today, but I'm happy to tell you about our conversation with Andrew Mock. Andrew currently flies the Gulfstream for Global Air Charters here in St. Paul, Minnesota. A lifetime aviator, Andrew's here to talk to us about his love of GA flying, the PC-12, and what it's like to take Gulfstreams around North America. Let's get to it.
My name is Andrew Mock. I'm 31 years old from Stillwater, Minnesota, and I'm currently a first officer on the Gulfstream 4.
Nice.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into aviation. Is it something, did you always want to be a pilot growing up, or how did you fall into the front seat of an airplane?
Yeah, I kind of thought about it. It was maybe something I always wanted to do. My dad was the one that really got me hooked into it. He flew helicopters and airplanes for the State Patrol.
Oh, no way.
So that along with mixed in, you know, what was it? I think back then flight sim 1998, maybe.
Sure.
It was the one, first one I ever played.
Yeah.
Those two together, they pretty much locked it in. That's what I wanted to do.
Did you ever go up with your dad in like a helicopter or anything?
I did. For the first time I went up with him was actually in the airplane.
Okay. Did he fly both for the State Patrol?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
both. Nice.
They had helicopters, airplanes, and a Queen Air too.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah. But it was in one of the 182s. And then the very last time I flew with him was actually in one of the helicopters. So
nice.
Yeah.
I've yet to go in a helicopter.
Just cut the bug.
I'll never go in a helicopter.
I don't know.
I'm not a helicopter guy. It's going to take a lot to like.
I'd definitely go for a ride. I think it sounds fun. I don't know if I'd ever want to get a license in it, but I'd for sure go for a ride.
Well, it's like more expensive than multi-time.
It's pricey.
It's like $500 an hour.
You save some money with an add-on at the end. Commercially.
By getting your pilot's license first and then going to helicopter. Yeah, which is so weird.
Yeah, right.
But no, that's really cool. So your dad was in aviation kind of your whole life.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he started out law enforcement and got into the aviation, the air wing there.
Nice.
And that's kind of what got me hooked into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then, so did you know you wanted to go to school for it, or how did you, what was your path there?
To be honest, no. I originally started looking at schools within the surrounding state area for music therapy.
Okay.
I was really into music, ironically. Yeah.
Something about pilots being into music.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
Ever since like fifth grade.
Because you need something to listen to while you're on those long solo cross countries.
I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I was really into music, concert band, percussion ensemble, jazz band, pep band.
You name it. Yeah. What was your instrument of choice?
Oh, I played percussion. So I played a whole bunch of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
The mean electric triangle.
Was pretty good.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So you wanted to go to school potentially thought about going to school for music.
Yeah, originally music, and then started looking at other possibilities, and, you know, I just thought, maybe aviation. I could do something with aviation. I'm really fascinated by it. I wonder what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So believe it or not, I went and took a tour up at St. Cloud.
Okay.
And that was right maybe a year or two later. They ended up closing down, so that was a good thing I didn't do that.
Okay, yeah.
Had some friends that went through there, though. Ended up at University of North Dakota.
Nice.
Yep.
Did you do any, before we jump into that, did you do any like lessons or flying before you decided to go up to school for it? Did you do anything in high school or anything other than just flying with your dad couple times here and there?
Okay. Nothing at all.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what drove you to UND?
It was, you know, it's kind of like one of your previous guests mentioned, it was far enough from home, but still close enough.
Sure. Yeah.
The drive wasn't too far.
Yeah.
It had a great program. Wasn't too crazy about going down to Florida.
Yeah.
I'm more of
I take cooler. Florida over North Dakota every day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
I'm more of a cooler person.
Yeah.
I mean, it can get hot here.
Florida's kind of tacky.
Yeah. Thank you.
Whoa. We're going to have guests from Florida one day.
Yeah. Okay. So you end up at UND. Mm-hmm. And did you end up going through their classic aviation management?
Yeah,
degree.
It was kind of an interesting trip down the studies there. I started out in their aviation program, applied for a third class medical prior to getting accepted. I got.
Was that a requirement?
No, it wasn't. It was okay. Something I wanted to do.
Right, to make sure you could hold it.
Do it.
That's what I was told students was like, go get a medical before you even go get a medical before you even start flying. Cause it's like, if you can't hold one here, or if it's going to take you a while to get through with it, you know, you'd rather be not spending the money on flight training when you don't even know if you're gonna be able to get through it.
Absolutely. That's what you can't solo and you know,
right. You need a medical. Solo. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, backfired and I got rejected at least 4 or 5 times for a third class medical.
Oh wow.
So I spent a good, I don't know, it was a year, two, a couple more trying to get a third class medical.
Okay.
And after a couple of rejections, I finally decided, well,
were you going to school at UND at the time?
At that point in time, yeah.
Okay.
I had already intended on having a third class in my hand when I showed up.
What were you studying at that time?
I was just knocking out general studies. Core classes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I ended up getting rejected a couple times. And finally, I was like, oh, you know, if I get rejected one more time, maybe this isn't something I'll pursue as a career. Maybe this will just be a hobby down the road and I'll have to find something else.
Yeah.
And you know, I opened the envelope and it was arguably one of the best days of my life
because
it was
a
third class, no restrictions from that point on.
Yeah.
It was just go to town.
That's awesome.
Get work done on the flight courses and then get out.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. What was flight training up there like?
Very structured, as you could imagine. It's, you know, I never did any Part 61 stuff like I mentioned. It very structured. Lesson briefing. You had mock oral exams, mock check rides, stage checks. That basically they would want to make sure you are ready to go for the check ride,
that
mock stage check, before sending you off for the big show.
The actual, the deal. Yeah.
So it was good.
Did you enjoy your time there?
I did.
Overall,
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I was there a lot longer than I really, really wanted to be, because of the medical thing. So
how long did it take you to get through everything?
It was about six years actually.
Okay. Sure. And
so because of that, to kind of finish up on what you were talking about prior with, did I go to school for aviation? Short answer, yes. Long answer, no.
Okay.
I actually ended up getting to that position where, well, I've just finished my commercial multi instrument. Mm-hmm. Do I spend another year and a half and do CFI and double I?
Oh, sure.
So if I remember correctly, that was required to complete and to get the
141
in science and aeronautics, I think it was. And so instead of doing that and staying there longer, I was like, well, I know I can find and build time other places outside of just instructing.
Yeah.
So let's give this a shot. I need to get out of school.
Yeah.
I'm just going to graduate. I switched my major, grad of minor in professional flight.
Oh, wow.
And then just graduated and stayed up there and worked and made connections.
And did you end up getting flight instructor? You're a flight instructor? Certificates? Not at all.
No, I give him a hard time for that.
Jake's head. No, actually, I sat in this, not this very room, but in one of your guys' rooms here, day one with one of your instructors of CFI ground. Mm-hmm. And that was right before I got called by my first bigger employer.
Okay. So what were you doing? How were you building time?
Yeah, how I built some of my time. A couple of friends and I wasn't part of the original group. But as some of them started leaving for their jobs, I stepped in and took a spot. We were all kind of in on this 172.
Oh, okay.
And by in as far as basically we rented it from the owner.
Sure.
It was just the four of us.
Yeah.
We let it take it back to the north with us.
Yeah.
The only stipulation was it had to come back to its home for maintenance because he was a mechanic down there. So
that's and where was this out of? Where was this out of?
The plane was out of just Clear Lake, basically St. Cloud.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a little gravel strip?
Yeah. Clear Lake. So,
I mean, so you're just ripping around on cross countries, just flying around, building time.
Stuff. Yeah. We had some good times at that airplane, did a lot of fly-ins, good cross countries. And then that opened doors, you know, this whole entire time I was working at a FBO and met some people there. Got involved with a farmer who owned a Turbo 210.
Okay.
Kind of stripped out except for the pilot seat and the very the small bench in the very back, but in the seat right next to me where the co-pilot seat or would be the second cockpit seat, there was a hole in the floor with like a gimbal and two, like, I don't know. I'm not a very
techie guy
cameras, but yeah, like Nikon or something, two of them stuck in the ground and there was a gimbal and the person at the back could adjust the gimbal. And I had a switch to open the camera lens door on the bottom. And so we flew around, all over kind of the Red River Valley, taking photos of crops, from 8,000 feet up to 18,000. Well, obviously not 18,000.
Right. 17,999.
Yeah. So did that and then, got involved with another company.
And you just met that guy at
through word of mouth.
Yeah, okay. That's friends. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And then kind of did the same thing in a 172 as well, the next season.
Okay.
And this was all working at the FBO.
Sure.
So, we had an air ambulance company there on the field too. And, did a lot of the on-call shifts overnight for filling, met those guys, became really good friends with them, ended up getting an air ambulance internship.
Oh, nice.
Pilatus PC-12 and, did that for about a year and a half.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very, very, very rewarding.
It's pretty demanding.
The airplane usually doesn't fly in the best weather.
Sure.
That the helicopters will.
Yeah.
And the helicopters don't necessarily fly in the best weather either, but it was demanding at times.
Sure.
A lot of late night, early morning flying, anywhere between the hours of 11 p.m. and I would say it's 5 o'clock, 5:36.
Were you just on call for like a 12-hour period or something? You guys just kind of hung out?
Pretty
or
much. Whatever? At that time, I was the only intern.
Okay.
It seemed that they would only take on one at a time for a while.
Sure.
So I pretty much just had my phone on, and whenever they got a call, they're like, hey, can you be at the airport in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And I lived pretty close.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, yep. No problem. I'll meet you there.
How many hours did you have roughly when you got on with the air ambulance?
I would say maybe 350, 400.
Okay. So yeah, still a lot of time.
They got me to about 500 hours.
Okay.
500 hours-ish, 550. And when I started there, you know, it's 135 operation.
Sure.
So I can't fly the actual 135 legs. I could fly the 91 legs.
Yeah.
And their pilots, some of them were instructors too. So some of it was logged and still given. And then eventually, And then eventually I would, got my high altitude, high performance complex in the Pilatus PC-12.
Nice.
It's a cool plan to do it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah.
So it was good. And then, I could do some more. I could actually act as the PIC on the 91 legs on
return
trips.
Yeah.
On some of those Grand Forks to Rochester flights, man.
You'd be logging.
Get some PIC time.
Yeah. Some PIC turbine time, I guess. Single engine. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got like 500 hours in the PC-12 doing air ambulance stuff. What comes next?
Yeah. So, you know, it was a time for a change. And after kind of a year and a half with that, I ended up moving back here to the Twin Cities.
Okay.
And moved into a place over here in Chanhassen.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 5 years or so working on the ramp as a line technician up in Grand Forks. Very familiar with that. And so basically what I ended up doing was getting a job at the FBO right down the taxiway here, Premier Jet Center.
Oh, okay. You worked at Premier. I'm just fueling, pulling airplanes.
Yep. Yep, doing that. I keep telling people who are getting into this career, work at an FBO.
Yeah, that's what
I've heard. If it's a pay cut, suck it up, get a
second job. Could be worth it down the road.
Yeah, because you know, I tried so hard to get on at the FBO, and finally I got in, and the connections I made there. I mean, one of my best friends up there, Brett Penny. Shout out to you. he was the one that got me the internship, kind of started that, and some of the people I met, they helped me big time, especially if I wasn't a CFI. So I was trying to build time elsewhere.
Yeah.
So
were you just renting on the side when you were
a little bit of renting,
FBO,
flying that 172 with the four friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Doing the year internship. There was a base tenant there who had a Premier jet.
Okay.
And for, it's a single pilot airplane, but for insurance reasons needed to have a safety pilot.
Sure.
So I went on a business trip with him as a safety pilot.
Oh, that's cool.
A couple flights in his caravan.
Nice. Did you guys go anywhere cool?
No. Okay. Well, I mean, I've never been to it at the time. It was Faribault. Oh, not that far. Yeah.
It's like, for those listening, it's like 25 miles away.
It's like 26.
It's like not very far.
But I mean, it took a little while in the caravan to get down there from Grand Forks. So.
Oh, okay. So, it's, yeah, from Grand Forks down. That's, yeah, a, that's Forks, a bit of a haul. That's a
flying cloud.
That's a 2-hour flight.
Yeah. So, I mean, the FBO. I moved down here, got a job at the FBO, hoping that it would lead to something else, lead to employment again. And at that time, put my application in at a 135 essential air service company. And when I applied, that's when I was sitting in that classroom here, mm-hmm. taking that CFI initial.
Okay, yeah.
And about a week later, I got the call. So I ended up jumping out of that class and putting in my 2-week notice at the FBO, and that was it.
And you had like 700 hours or something, probably.
Yeah, actually a little bit less. I think it was at the time they wanted 500 hours to sit right seat.
Sure.
I think it was like 500, 550, maybe six.
Okay. Yeah. So pretty low time.
It worked. And I had like 30 some hours in the Pilatus already. So that helped as well.
So you're hopping back into the Pilatus right seat. What was it like getting back into the Pilatus, but now for like an actual job?
It felt really good. Kind of felt like you made it. You know what I mean?
Getting paid to fly.
Getting paid to do what you set out to do from the very beginning.
Yeah.
There's really no other feeling like it that I've experienced.
Yeah. How long did you do that? So you were in the right seat.
Yeah. Talk to us about your career at that.
Essential air service.
We'll call it the essential air service carrier. Tell us about your career.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I got hired on there as an FO. I was based here in Minneapolis. Mm. Sat in the right seat for a year. Okay. Was offered an upgrade at the 135 1200 hour, and there's some other stipulations there.
Sure.
Offered the upgrade, the chance to upgrade. I turned it down because I wanted to remain home based.
Where were they going to send you?
It was going to be Denver.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not terrible.
Yeah.
But you know how much being home-based is a huge, huge plus.
Yeah.
So turned it down. It was fine. Maybe spent 2 months more sitting in the right seat. Finally had a slot in Minneapolis. Went to upgraded there. I think it was 2.5, 3 years after, 3 years sat in the left seat.
Okay.
And it started doing some pilot hiring stuff, then worked my way into management. And when I left there for about 4 years later, left as assistant chief and a line check airman.
Nice.
Yeah.
How was it being a check airman?
It was good. I didn't do the oral exams or like the actual knowledge check ride.
Just the flight portion?
Yeah, I was a 135, what is it, 299 line check airman. So I did IOE for new captains after the mate went through.
Got any good stories that you can share? I'm sure you saw some stuff. Sometimes.
I saw some things that I will not share.
That's for sure.
But there were also a lot of really good pilots that went through there.
Yeah, I bet.
So did the IOE and did line checks, and that was fun. I enjoyed it. Nobody likes to, unfortunately, unsat people.
Right.
But it does happen. But at the end of the day, you have to think, it's safety.
Right. You've got people in the back that you got to take care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So it was good.
So like the PC-12. Like a lot of people love the plane. Think it's the coolest thing ever. Like super high performance.
That's because it is.
Yeah, tell us about it. Tell us about what you liked about the plane.
Man, that plane will do whatever you want it to do, as long as you respect it like any other airplane. Keep it within its limitations.
Yeah.
We would fly, 8 passengers and take as much fuel as we can. And it's been a while since I've flown it, so I don't remember how much that would be. But
yeah.
And we could get off the ground in a short distance.
Yeah.
Very short distance. As in landing too, 8 passengers and, a healthy gulp of fuel.
Yeah.
We can get down and off the runway in Minneapolis in what most people would think would be impossible.
Like the touchdown zone for a jet.
No joke. Yeah. No joke. This is the second turnoff, the reversed high speed.
Papa 3
was a frequent
Papa 3 on 30, right?
I think it's maybe 1,500 to 1,800 feet.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't have all my taxiway distances down. You have to
fact check me on that. But it's an incredible.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Whatever you put in it, for the most part, it will take it and it'll fly it. It's got the legs too.
Any dislikes about flying the airplane?
We flew legacy PC-12s, the 45 and the 47 series.
Okay.
The prop de-ice was a constant issue.
Okay.
I never had an issue really with boots, like shedding the ice, but you know, the de-ice system was kind of sometimes the nightmare.
Sure. I don't know anything about the different models of PC-12, the 45, the 47, whatever you said, the legacy. I don't even know how many they have out there nowadays.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers and avionics.
Yeah.
Electrical system changes a little bit.
Were they all steam gauge? Did you have any glass on the inside?
We did have an EADI and an EHSI.
Okay.
And then your usual backup indicators.
Right. So you did have a little bit of... Yeah.
Garmin 430, Garmin 530s, and then eventually majority of the fleet transitioned to 650, 750.
Oh, nice.
Which those were good. Those are
great.
That's the package GPS, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
What was it like going in and out of like Chicago in a PC-12?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We went into a lot of Class B airports, Boston, Chicago, Minneapolis, Dallas, Texas, LA, Phoenix, just to name a few.
Yeah.
And, you know, single engine PC-12, you got a 737, 757, what have you, coming up behind you. You got to crawling keep it up on you.
Dude, we cry like bloody murder. Oh, 180 to 5 mile final. Yeah. That sucks. They screwed us today. What do you do when the speed you're assigned to final is a speed?
Is the max. Is the fastest the airplane can go.
Well, yeah, you literally fly as, you know, best forward until you hit your, whatever your policy says you need to be configured by and stable. And that's what you go by. A
couple hundred feet before, get it all slowed up.
Behind you, yeah. And then you can drag it in kind of slower. But
right.
Did they try and like compartmentalize forward. Guys like another runway? Or just kind of know you're coming and be like, all right.
Just kind of mix you in and hope for the best. No,
because to be honest, we could keep up with a lot of the jets.
Yeah.
If we gave it our best forward and the jets were doing their thing, we could stay up with them. We could keep that space and that gap that they needed.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, just get down and configure when you need to be in stable gear, flaps, you're good
off
to go.
Yeah.
Get off the ground a lot quicker than you would think, and the runway's free again.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that probably helps too. You're not rolling all the way down to the end of the runway. It's like, oh, we're off and cleared for the next guy.
You know, 4 years, it's time for a change. You know, I thought maybe the airlines might be the thing I would do. Figured, you know, try it, see if you like it. I applied to some of the airlines, also applied a couple of other 135 corporate charter companies.
Okay.
And, got a thanks, no thanks from one airline.
Sure.
And, ended up, read your applications, folks, read it closely. Got that squared away, by the way.
Did you fill it out right?
I filled it out. Yeah, I checked. I failed the DOT drug test. Of course, once you know, it's like, oh, we appreciate the application, but thanks. We're that's currently gonna seeking be a, other people. That's a hard no.
Yeah, it's going to be a no go.
I'm like, well, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Ended up figuring out that I checked that wrong, and they ended up putting me back in the pool. Got a call back.
Okay.
Got a call for an interview while I'm sitting in training at the 135 employer that I currently am at right now. Global Air Charters.
Global Air Charters.
St. Paul, Minnesota.
And what do you fly? What do you fly over there?
Right now, I'm on the Gulfstream 4.
Nice.
Yep. Talk to us about your path to the Gulfstream 4, though.
Talk about the path
to the Gulfstream 4.
Yeah.
Because you flew an elite airplane on the way there.
You know, people bash it, but I actually miss it. I flew the Beach Jet.
Oh, yeah.
The Beach, not the Mitsubishi 300, not the Beach Jet 400. Not the 400A, the Beach
the
Jet.
The actual Beach Jet.
The next in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Proline Collins 21 avionics and a little bit better engines.
Yeah.
They kept the brakes the same. Weren't real good.
Okay.
But it was a good little jet.
Yeah.
Good
how much time did you get in that?
Teeth on. Not much.
Not much.
No. Okay. Not much at all.
Yeah.
I think just a sliver under 100 hours maybe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
And that was with Global?
That was with Global, yep. And kind of the one thing with 91 jobs in the 135 world, the smaller companies, you know, airlines, you get furloughed.
Right.
If a company is struggling or something in the 135 world, you know, they may sell the airplane.
Right.
Or if the airplane just isn't doing what they wanted it to do, they may get rid of that airplane and sell it for whatever reason. Multiple reasons.
And then just kind of swap the career around, send you back to flight safety, get a new type.
Yeah. And the fleet for the most part, was Gulfstream.
Yeah.
We did have the two beach jets. And so, ended up, selling the beach jets and now I'm the Gulfstream 4. It worked out.
How do you like the Gulfstream? Tell us a little bit about that.
What's it like to fly a cool plane?
So when most people hear that knows a little bit about aviation, right? They hear Gulfstream and they think just like all over the world, long legs, mm-hmm. you know, Gulfstreams are notorious for flying all over the place.
Yeah.
Is that the case? You guys take that thing all over?
It's all over the place. Gulfstream 4 doesn't quite have the legs the Gulfstream 5 does. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 4 can still go a long ways.
Yeah.
You can easily do a 7-hour, 8-hour leg. On our first rotations, we were going to do a Vancouver to Panama. And that was a 7-hour, 7.5-hour
leg. Yeah, that's a big leg.
Yeah, so it's got the legs. It's comfortable. It's got a lav. That's the thing that I have to keep reminding myself. It's got a lav that I can actually get up.
Yeah.
Stand full upright, not have to hunch.
Yeah.
Lucky guy.
Like the beach.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can go use the lab too. Yeah, so it's nice too.
Clutch.
That's destinations awesome. Are good. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are
some fun places you've been? Tell us about it.
Oh, all over the islands.
Which islands? There's a lot of islands.
Yeah, there are a lot. We've been to quite a few of them. I've been to Turks and Caicos quite a bit. I've been to St. Thomas.
Got a favorite destination that you've gone so far?
You know, my favorite so far actually has been Guatemala.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that was on the beach jet. That was my first international trip.
Okay.
Say international. I didn't have to use an HF radio or anything like that. But
sure.
It was the first international trip. I was with my first officer, Max Henry. And it was a lot of fun. Guatemala City, got some fuel, cleared customs.
Oh, were you a captain on the beach jet?
I was.
Direct entry captain on the beach.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah.
Got it. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Direct entry captain. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really do miss the beach jet. It was good, but I'm very happy where I am in the Gulfstream, obviously.
I bet. Yeah. Yeah. The Gulfstreams are cool, man. They're fun airplanes. And so you're just home based and you just get kind of airlined out to where
the
airplane is.
Yeah, the aircraft kind of float.
Okay.
Yep.
Just kind of where it ends up and wherever your rotation starts.
Usually it's somewhere on the East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So do you think 135 is going to be kind of where you finish your career?
You know, I was kind of anticipating you were going to ask me that.
Yeah, because most people, right, UND, it's like UND to SkyWest or Endeavor to Delta, right? Like, I mean, that is like the
at least in the Minneapolis area.
At least in the Minneapolis area.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. So it's.
I'd agree with that. You know, the airlines are hiring a lot right now. As far as the type of flying that we're doing, the 135 stuff, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that the airlines you're not interacting with your passengers a whole lot, because you do. You mm-hmm. interact with them a little bit. We're doing the type of flying that I like. I'm just a people person.
Big variety.
I like interacting. Yeah. I like interacting with them, and it's very personal.
Sure.
We'll meet them at the bottom of the stairs. You know, we'll
fold their bags, grab their stuff.
Bags. Yeah. If I have to get up and run back to grab something to drink, or if our flight attendant is busy and I go back, grab something to drink, you know, I'll talk to the passengers on the way back, update them on where we are, how much longer, how they're doing, if they need the cabin temp up or down.
That's
whatnot.
Cool.
So it's fun. I enjoy it. That's not to say I wouldn't give the airlines a try, but you know, this place that I'm at right now, Global Air Charters, this very well could be the final destination.
Do you got any insight into career progression for going to left seat? Moving on to what else do they have any other airplanes? Any other airplanes down the road?
Yeah, they're you know, like with most companies, they're looking to bring on other aircraft.
Sure,
they are. I am hoping to make the jump back to the left seat mm-hmm. Within hopefully the next year.
Get some time under your belt.
You know, it's one of those things. We just came over, and by there's three of us that came over from the beach jet to the Gulfstream fleet.
Yeah,
so we're kind of put into the pool of the Gulfstream pilots. And you know, it's kind of like a seniority thing.
Sure.
I'm sure the left seat will be offered to them first, and rightfully so.
Sure. Yeah.
But hopefully.
What do you think? What's your favorite part then of 135? Is it the destinations or is it the passenger engagement?
Boy, that's a,
The closest I get to engaging with passengers is who's sitting in 1B. Right, it's like I'm grabbing some pretzels.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then someone looks at me for 1B.
Yeah, like, it's very quick interactions. It's very quick interactions. Right? Like, hey, thank you.
And if I have a bad landing, it's like, oh, are you in the Navy? Get off my plane.
Did you land on carriers?
Do I look like I was practicing? Have you seen my stomach? Do I look like I was in the Navy?
You said it.
I would say the destinations are probably the coolest.
Yeah. How is it packing a bag for what's your schedule like first?
Our current schedule is 14 days on, 10 days off.
Okay. So that's 14 days in a Gulfstream. You can cover a lot of ground.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you pack a bag for?
I usually overpack.
One winter jacket, a swimsuit, some boots, and some sandals.
I'm trying to learn how to best pack from my peers right now. Okay. I overpack big time.
Yeah. Like
too many work shirts.
Sure.
Too many undershirts for sure.
Yeah.
How many
undershirts do you bring?
More than
15.
What you really need.
15.
I've got 14 day trip. Got a spare.
Right. But you're right though, Matt. I always have a swimsuit with me. Mm-hmm. I always bring my sandals.
Yeah.
I've got a kind of a downish jacket that I have.
Yeah.
In the middle of winter, obviously I'll up it to an actual winter jacket.
Sure.
Shorts, jeans.
Do you have any insight? So
yeah, like,
do you have any insight as to what trips you might be going on when I'm sure it changes, right? You could be like, oh, I'm supposed to do I'm supposed to be going from Turks and Caicos to Vancouver to New York City. And then you show up to the airplane and they're like, we're going to Alabama.
Of course. Yeah, it changes. We have a schedule too.
Okay.
We can see where we're going before we walk out the door.
Sure.
So we can kind of get an idea of what we need to pack.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, take a look at the schedule. Okay, I'm going to be in Turks and Caicos. I'm going to go down to San Juan. I'm going to spend, looks like I got 4 days in Hawaii. All right, I guess I'm going to pack some short. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm making this up. I have never been there. I'm going to Yellowknife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess I got to bring a parka.
Right, it's going to be a little colder.
Yeah, so you just take a look at the calendar and kind of plan accordingly.
And hope for the best.
Things change, though.
Yeah, for sure. Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy the flexibility and the kind of spontaneity of the corporate?
It can get very hectic, especially when it's a last minute change.
Sure.
As with any occupation, especially with you guys too, if you have last minute weight and balance changes or something like that. But
kick the jump seater.
Sure. Yeah. But yeah, I do enjoy it. I do like the plan. I like things planned out. But at the same time, I do like a little bit of...
Just go with the flows.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens. You know, you're working for 14 days, so...
Exactly.
Who cares, I guess, if it's here or there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Even though you fly the Gulfstream, you try and stay involved a lot in general aviation.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You know, because for me, it's like GA is cool and all, but I don't really want to go spend hundreds of bucks to rent a 172 to... bop around to Winona or something.
I totally agree.
What keeps you coming back to GA as much as you do?
Man, GA is, I just think back to some of the stuff that I did as, you know, flying a 172 mm-hmm. and had an absolute blast in flying with friends.
Yeah.
The four friends that were in on that 172, and I had other friends that had access to aircraft. Some of them owned their own planes. So we would chat on the ground before we launch, and we'd fly formation to a pancake breakfast 50, 70 miles away.
That's awesome.
Go land on some grass strips. There's a grass strip north of Grand Forks in Manville. We held a pig roast, our EAA organization, our chapter.
Yeah.
I mean, we camped out at one point. We had I want to say it was upwards of maybe 20 aircraft on the ground at this little airport. Tents and everything.
Wow.
It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
I miss doing that stuff. I'll be honest, I haven't done it within the last year. I want to get back into it. I might actually this month. But I mean, you can do anything from tailwheel flying to float plane flying.
Do you have any of those fun ratings?
I don't have a tailwheel.
Okay.
I'm
have you, do you got any time in a tailwheel?
I do have some time.
Yeah.
About 8 hours, but no
They're
landings.
Fun. They're cool.
Yeah.
Seaplane? You ever been in one?
Seaplane. I do have my seaplane.
You've got it.
Add-on. Yep. Nice. I do commercial seaplane add-on.
That's pretty sick.
To date is some of the most I've ever had.
Flying. What did you get your seaplane rating in? What type of airplane?
It was 172.
Okay, just 172
on 172 floats. On a whip air, or excuse me, whip line floats.
Whip line
from
floats.
Whip air.
Okay, nice. Yeah, the seaplane rating is something that, do you ever use it though? That's kind of what I've heard. It's one of those things.
Like cool
it's
have,
cool to get. Gonna, the training yeah, is the training is like the bulk of it. And unless you have like really good access to one or, you know, a good bit of money, because they're kind of expensive to
they
rent.
Are.
It's kind of a tough rating to utilize.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have access to one, to rent. I've only got like 13 and a half, I think it's 13 and a half hours or something like that.
Yeah.
But every summer I try to go and I try to fly, you know, over here in South St. Paul, Air Trek North, they have the, they've got their 172 on amphibs.
Yeah.
So I go up with one of the instructors. I try to anyways.
Sure.
At least once or twice a summer.
Yeah.
Just to kind of stay somewhat proficient.
And it's just cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's so sweet.
It's so much fun. Shut down. Just float there on the river on a lake.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's expensive. And so it's stuff like that.
Right.
You know, grass strips, awesome. Float flying. That's what I do miss about general aviation. Landing on a frozen runway.
Yeah,
ice port. Yeah,
ice port was pretty cool.
Yeah, it
was
a lot. Not many people can say they've landed on a frozen lake in a fixed gear aircraft. You guys can.
We can.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite fly-in that you've gone to throughout the years? Is there one that just, or like an experience that really sticks out? I mean, flying formation to pancakes sounds pretty sick.
It was a lot. Yeah. We did a lot of fun flying like that up in Grand Forks. Our EAA chapter is Hog Roast out of Manville.
Okay.
I think Mr. Swain Martin made actually a pretty really good. He made a great video kind of depicting that specific.
I feel like I've seen that.
You probably have. That specific that year.
It's a grass strip, and like everybody just like camped under the wing.
Everyone's
or something.
Camping under the wings.
We got a big pig
on a big roaster.
Like a bunch of like low passes over the field in the video. I think.
Air tractors show up. UND brings a helicopter. Yes, I would say probably that Hog Roast event.
I think that.
A close second would be Iceport.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, landing on a frozen lake is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The people that show up. I mean, there's a lot of aircraft. There's people on. Amphibious floats,
yeah,
fly in. You
ever been on skis?
I have not.
Me either, but
no. Yeah.
Skis would be cool.
Skis would
like
be a blast.
A ton of powder.
There are a lot
on
of
lake.
Ski planes that end up coming to that ice port flying too. So
you been into Oshkosh?
You know, I have not.
What?
I know. I have
that's
not.
Kind
been.
Of a, that's like the that's kind of a fly in sin.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Maybe
I keep saying, and I'm not going to say I'm going to make it this year because I keep saying that I'm going to make it.
Yeah,
but
it's definitely. We've talked to a couple people now and, you know, they've gone into it and stuff too. And we've both gone in, but it's definitely a must do once
it's
for sure.
It's the coolest thing I've ever done on a
it's,
plane.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun just because there's so much,
it's
just like tradition about it, right?
Tradition,
it's like such a
I think
a
it's
rich
the
thing
informality of ATC that's also kind of fun where it's like, it's serious, but it's not taken seriously.
It's like this super visual, basic thing, just flying over train tracks next to a lake and getting called out by your color. It's
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, I got friends who
have you gone to Oshkosh?
There? Like the Driven actual
there?
Air Vent?
Yes.
Oh, or just the city?
No, sorry. Have you gone to Air Venture at
I have not been to Air Venture, period.
At all.
Oh, my
at
God.
All, period.
Okay, yeah, that's a sin.
I know.
You got to at least drive there.
I know. Yeah, I haven't done it. So that's what I'm not going to say.
No,
I'm going to try and go
have you
this
been
year.
To Sun and Fun or something?
No. Nope.
No? Okay.
No.
Oh, gosh.
I go to the EAA Hops and Props every once in a while.
I don't know what that is. I would assume
at their museum, they have an event called Hops and Props.
Okay.
And they have a bunch of breweries show up.
Huh.
You walk in, you pay for a ticket, walk in, they give you a little like taster glass. Mm. You go around and sample beer
sample
and they've
beers,
got a lot of
like
food,
in a hangar
live,
and
live music. And it's out with their museum.
Oh, nice.
Pretty cool event. Yeah. I've been to that twice now, but I've not been to Air Venture.
Wow.
I know. Well, I've got friends that live there.
Add that to the list then.
Yeah. One of my roommates is a chapter consultant for EAA.
Oh, nice. And
he gets at me all the time.
I was going to say, he's got to be pretty disappointed.
Rightfully so.
We're pretty disappointed in you. We don't even work for EA.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for some trivia?
I suppose so.
Okay. Trivia today is, which EAS carrier serves the city?
Dude.
And what kind of plane do they fly?
I said, I don't know if he's going to have a chance at this.
All right.
All right, so number one. And just to let you know, this is like updated. I went through the federal list of like EAS
airports. We'll see. We've
updated as a when.
Some research.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay.
Drew is notorious for having wrong answers.
I know. Well, you got to make the trivia hard.
Okay, let's see.
Ogdensburg, New York.
SkyWest.
It was, but that was part of the big slash. Who won the contract from SkyWest?
Southern.
Cape Air.
Mm.
You know what kind of airplane they fly in there?
Yeah, 402.
No.
Is it their Technum?
It's the Technum, baby.
All right. Well, good thing my venti water with light ice is free.
All right. Number two, Alpena, Michigan.
Alpena, Michigan. I'm going to go with Cape Air.
You should have swapped your last two answers.
SkyWest.
This was
really?
SkyWest
yep,
on the CRJ 200.
On the 200. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right, number three.
Merced, California.
If you get this, I would.
Dude, when did you up? When is this updated?
This reflects the recent change on the route.
Oh man,
because you should know this one.
I'm gonna say
it was controversial. If you read the newspaper, the Merced news was like not happy.
I'm gonna be honest. I kind of just goodbye EAS.
It's tough because there's still a lot of questions left.
I don't know.
It's Advanced Air.
Okay,
on the King Air.
On the King Air.
Yeah, and they fly to Hawthorne, remember? And it was like, they fly to Hawthorne. There's like a lot of contention up there.
Okay.
Because people are like, we want to go to LA. Like, you go to Hawthorne.
It's kind of close, huh?
It's kind of close.
Yeah, it is close.
Hawthorne, isn't that like home of SpaceX?
It's literally like right there, but they had to like start moving. They had to move the operation to LA to keep Merced happy.
Advanced Air.
Yep, Advanced Air.
All right. Here we go. Number four, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Southern.
Wrong.
Second guess?
Cape Air.
It's boutique.
They're back at Altoona.
I think they're at the shows on the website. I guess I could.
Oh, you know what? I'm mixing Altoona up with Johnstown.
With John, yeah. Tough.
All right, rats.
Macon, Georgia.
Man, not doing so well.
No, but
Georgia.
Macon, Georgia.
This is tough. The only time I've seen this company is in Nashville.
Ooh, Macon, Georgia is actually Contour.
Okay.
They take an E-135 in there.
135.
They take it to
Silver. That's Baltimore. An airline we didn't throw on here.
I didn't throw, yeah.
I don't know anything about Silver, to be honest.
I don't even know.
Maybe if there's a Silver pilot
ATRs.
Listening
ATRs.
To this,
want to come yeah, if there's here. A Silver pilot that wants to come
or somebody
on.
That knows somebody that works for Silver.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Email
I have
us.
No, I don't know anything about Silver. All right, here we go. Number six. Ooh, Garden City, Kansas. No, it's not me in a 172 like 4 years ago.
Man, this is a good one. Garden City, Kansas.
He's just going to get Southern.
I'm literally shooting at the hip here. I'm going to say SkyWest.
It's Envoy.
Envoy. You're close.
Okay. You're close.
What type of airplane do they fly in there?
Envoy. They're 145.
Yeah, 145. Nice.
Sydney, Montana.
Cape Air.
Yeah.
Look at that.
They have like that. Like Cape Air has an odd offshoot up in the.
Montana. Up in Montana.
Yeah, that's not what you'd expect from them.
No.
Here we go. Number eight, Iron Mountain, Michigan.
That's SkyWest.
That is SkyWest.
The one and only SkyWest Airlines.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
It's SkyWest.
It's
too.
Not, but they got cut, so who did it go to?
It hasn't actually been awarded.
I thought that, you're right. So, okay, you're right. You're right in that it's SkyWest currently, but the city did the thing where they recommend it.
Recommended
now the DOT has
come back.
So they all come together.
I think there's three.
There were three, but the city recommended one of them. And you're going to be like, what?
Dev Air Connection.
That's Sun Country.
Really?
Sun
Country petitioned.
Sun Country to
two flights a week to Mini.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be a quick flight.
But there were some other... Who were the other ones?
Boutique and Southern both wanted to do it.
Yeah, with a lot more frequency to other spots. So, who knows?
Oh, all right. For them. That's awesome.
Number 10. Alliance, Nebraska.
I'm going to say Southern.
No. Denver Air Connection.
DAC, Denver Air Connection. I was gonna give him. I was gonna give him a different guess.
What kind of plane?
The one. Is it a 145? No. Is it the Dojet?
No, it's the Metroliner.
Really?
Yeah, they take the Metroliner in there.
I sat at the. That was one of the airports. One of the last trips that I went on was to the airport meeting with that EAS route. Is it going to connect to Denver?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I guess any parting words for...
Well, you sucked at knowing much about the industry you worked in, but it's okay.
What about parting words for those interested in getting into aviation? What do you... Any advice for people that are interested in it?
I would say take your time once you start, you know, keep moving through your ratings, but also take your time to enjoy it.
Have fun.
Have fun.
Yeah. It goes by way too fast.
Yeah. Go rent an airplane a little bit. Work at an FBO.
Yeah.
There's numerous routes to get to the end goal, that Gulfstream or that 777 that you want to get to.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Whatever it is you want. There's numerous routes to get there.
Yeah.
Just take your time and enjoy it.
Cool.
Because it'll go by before you know it.
It's so true. And it's one thing I regret, because I think about like what I did for my time building, and all I did is like, oh, it's 9 p.m. going to Rochester tonight under the hood. And that was it. Like, that was my GA. I didn't take the time to enjoy it, and I regret that.
I took a little more time to enjoy it, but still, when I mean, going from 250 hours to 1500 by flight instructing, you know, it's just kind of, all right, let's do this. You know?
Yeah.
So it's, I would definitely agree. It goes by way faster than you think, even when you're at, 80 hours and you're like, I got 1420 more to go. Trust me. It'll happen faster than you think.
Yeah. So just take your time.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you.
This was another episode of Living in Flight. If you liked this episode, please make sure to subscribe for more exclusive aviation content. Have any topic ideas or want to be featured on our podcast? Send us a message at listen@livinginflight.com. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Living in Flight.